Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, this is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. And of course, it is round 21 coming up. Can you believe it already? We are getting to the business end of the season. Finals just around the corner. And the boys here, as always, and they're in good form. Duck, Damo, Daisy, welcome to you all. Duck, you've been getting into the Olympic Games?
Oh, I love the Olympics. I tell you what, a lot of people, well, BT, reckons the Olympics were just about cooked. I think they have been unbelievably good. And once upon a time, Joey, I used to sit back and watch the Olympics and get all motivated and just do that little bit extra work.
Yep.
Now I look at them and go, and they, by the way, the kayakers and obviously the swimmers and now the athletics are just ripped. And you just go now.
Too hard basket.
I'm never getting back to that. But once upon a time, it used to motivate you, didn't it? Not anymore.
Extra glass of red duck when you're watching, mate.
Hey?
Extra glass of red when you're watching.
No, you can sit down now and enjoy it, but once upon a time, you'd go for a run or you'd pump some more iron or do, but no.
I've been watching that. It's inspired me. I've been watching the hammer throw. So I've just been launching stuff around the house. Tashes that off it, but it's been good fun.
Yeah. There's been a better time frame, has there, for an Australian viewer of Olympic Games to get the night stuff and the day stuff and the, everything in between.
Absolutely. Did you watch the Boomers last night?
I love the Boomers. I'm all on the Boomers. I'll touch on them in a minute. But, yeah, they're going fantastic. How good.
Mm. I was leading you into your hero.
You just want to have a discussion.
Well, I thought, we're doing the Boomers.
That's Joey, the Boomers are the best. Have a go at this. Hero of the week, Ramsey. Ramsey.
Daisy's hero of the round.
Seamless radio craft that was. Just a hook. Yeah, it's all happening. Anyway, the Boomers now good. And Paddy Mills, the man, the face of the Boomers. Not only are they playing in the match tomorrow, where if they win, they go on to compete for gold, which is an amazing effort, but he's just signed a $16 million deal with the Brooklyn Nets. Now, on top of that, he goes back for the remainder of the season. He's going to play with the Spurs, his team, for $1.458 million. That's what's left of his deal this season.
Yeah, well done. And the, obviously the US coach, Popoff or whatever his name is. Popoff in the studio, actually. he's his coach, obviously, for the remainder of that little bit of time. And he loves him. So he's going to be very disappointed to lose him.
16 mil for 2 years. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's not a bad collect.
So the Boomers play the USA Thursday night in a big game. If they make that, they're into the gold medal match. And if they lose, they'll play off for bronze. So they were awesome last night. Duck, you don't have any Zoom meetings to go to today. You got time to stick around for a big show?
No, I have a Zoom.
You do not.
I've got a Zoom at 1 o'clock and I've just got the new stuff. The Banger and Olsen headphones and all of the Banger and Olsen.
The Banger.
A bit like the Popoff. And the new, the phone went dead the other day.
Have you protected the contents of the previous phone, Duck?
Don't you panic when your phone goes dead.
Where is it now?
I think more than most.
I tell you what, you wake up and you think, you plug it in and you think something's wrong.
If you want to transfer your iCloud, you just all get a bit nervous. Yeah, if everything from the iCloud goes across.
Not sure about the cloud.
Where is that cloud?
You know what? They're funny little things I've found. When I got this in the iPad, I realised things were bopping from that to that. And I don't want to beep when you should bop. So,
what percentage of your old phone, Duck, do you want to retain?
All that I want to retain from the old phone, because you know you eventually get a lot of crap on there. So what you do want to retain, the most important thing is the beautiful photos and the memories of your little one. So I've got an abundance of videos and also photos of babies and stuff. So you don't want to lose that.
You don't want to lose that. All right. Well, we'll get through the show because you've got a meeting to get to at 1 o'clock. Which pub is the meeting at, by the way? Your Zoom meeting. But we'll get to that because, Damo, there's always plenty of footy news. We're going to do a duck dive and we're going to take a look at the big round 21 games to come all after this on Triple M's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
You watch me today. This will be one of my best performances.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, of course, exclusive to the listener app. And Damo, as always, plenty of footy news. But let's start with the vacant coaching position at Collingwood. What's the latest there? And I want to get the take, Duck, after Damo, on whether Robert Harvey is slowly coming into consideration.
I'll deal with that last bit first, Joey. I still don't see a role for Robert Harvey in whatever lies ahead. And it may be unfortunate that's the case, given how he has clearly and quite distinctively allowed them to play in a very different way to Nathan Buckley. Mm. But not from what I'm hearing is he going to be figuring prominently in those pointy end of discussions. And what I have been able to glean to a point, and again, I'm never ever going to say that you know what's going on, because only the people empowered to make the decision ultimately know exactly what's going on. But there is a strong feeling that I'm getting that they're going down the experience path, that the Don Pike path specifically, the Brad Scott path specifically, the Michael Voss path specifically. So they've all coached in finals series, those three guys. They've all won a final. They've all got a seasoned element to their CVs that allows them to present to this club now, which needs to be fixed up pretty quickly and pretty dramatically. That's the feeling I'm getting. The biggest seasoned guy, obviously, is the one who this time last week when we spoke was still going to be at Hawthorn. He's now not in Alistair Clarkson. But they hadn't factored him in initially in a significant way, and I still don't feel much has changed since Friday when it became official and public that he will be gettable if he wants. So if he's going to coach next year, I think it's Carlton or elsewhere. But specifically Collingwood, that's the way I'm reading that at the moment.
Why is Alistair Clarkson being ruled out of Collingwood? It's not just you. There are other journalists saying that he definitely won't coach Collingwood. What is the reason for that? Is it purely because of Graham Wright? Or is there more to it than that?
Just on the ruling out, I've learnt to never rule anything in or out. So I'm not trying to say that, you know, there's wiggle room on that, because you just can't. I mean, no one would have said what happened last Friday with Alistair Clarkson. So there is a situation with Graham Wright. The way I read it was they worked together for a long time. There's a lot of trust. There's a lot of respect. But anyone who's worked with Clarko for a period of time, and Wright worked with him for a long time, gets to a point they just don't want to. And that's just the way life works with the demands that he puts on. He wasn't part of the initial discussions with Collingwood. Yes, they were going to reach out, which they did, and they said no. That's part of it, Joey. It's also, too, he does come with baggage, Clarko. It's not as if you just bring him in and then he coaches the footy club and everything else that's been done to that point in time stays the same path. He will have his own set of ideas, which is ultimately what's blown up the relationship with Hawthorn itself in the manner in which it was delivered. So that's why I feel he won't be at Collingwood.
It's interesting you say that, because all of a sudden we're talking about, you know, the greatest modern day coach the last 15 years that we've had, and yet there are questions being asked. If he comes to the club, it's going to be all-encompassing, all-controlling, and he used the word himself. The reason why he stepped away is because of control. So when you look at that, that does then limit the clubs that I reckon that would really want to take him on. Obviously, you know, the Gold Coast, nothing against Stewie Jew, but they're clearly struggling a little minute. That would be a club, because they probably need a really strong figurehead, whereas other clubs like Collingwood. Robert Harvey, I just want to touch on what you said about him. I think that the way he's coached and the way he's coaching, I agree that Collingwood know because he's been there so long, but what he's doing for some other club to look at him now, excuse me, I think now he's putting his head up there to say, you know what, I can do this job and I can do it well. So well done to Robert Harvey, and I think he will get a job at the end of the year if this continues.
Yep. And of the untried crew, as far as I can tell, Adam Kingsley is still in the conversation, and that would require a bit of a shift, though, from what I believe will be the path they do go down, that being the tried coach, the one who's got a bit of battle weariness to him and knows what lies ahead, because it's not going to be easy. We saw what happened last year in the trade period days where they had to offload three players of significant nature. It's going to happen again. Now, whether it's one player of significance or two or three of lesser significance, to tally up and total something around the $600,000 to $700,000 a year mark in order to just finally rectify and right that salary cap problem they've now been carrying for some time.
Do you like the idea, Daisy, of now maybe the philosophy with coaching, going back to coaches that have had one crack at it, these experienced coaches? Because we went through a period where everyone was a caretaker coach. They were all new coaches, first-time coaches. If Collingwood go down this path, do you think that opens the door for other clubs now to be more open to getting coaches that have already had a crack at it?
Yeah, I think a lot of coaches deserve a second chance. And I think, like a lot of things in life, the second time around, you're a lot wiser, you learn a lot more, you learn a lot from your mistakes. And with hindsight, you obviously have the ability to go back and say, hey, I actually put my hand up, I did some things wrong there, I could have been better. So no doubt, although you're almost off the scrap heap, you could be getting a better version of what that coach was serving up previous times.
And Pike made a grand final in 2017. Yes, that game didn't work out, but he made a grand final.
Favourites
for that grand final. Brad Scott made two preliminary finals with a list that was always at best questionable. And Michael Voss won a final in his first year. So they've all got ability in some form. And to your point, the learnings of the mistakes are the key takeout for them with whatever lies ahead.
Damo, the Jack Viney Tribunal hearing last night. He copped the 2 weeks for the serious misconduct charge. What was your take?
Complete botch up by his own representation, saying to plead guilty to a certain part of it, but not realise he was pleading guilty to that impact of the elbow being on the throat. So I just wanted to throw that in, and that was by Adrian Anderson, who formulated the Match Review Office rulings back in 2005. So I don't know what was going on there. 2 weeks was probably okay. Three might have been better to send a message, but deep down, Dark and Days and Joey, I don't have a major issue with it being two.
Yeah, it wasn't a great look. Didn't need to do it. I think you cop that and move on.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And especially after what's happened during the week where we've banned boxing now and you can't hit people in the head, it was never going to be a good time to be going and throwing an elbow. I was following it live on the AFL app and I saw the Juddy's chicken wing was brought in for some
precedence. What about the Juddy pressure point? That was probably the more... Remember Juddy's pressure point at the time it was very... Caught everyone off guard.
Was that a different match? Was it Lee Adams chicken wing? Was that the same match? Or was he trying to get the same pressure point?
Not sure. No, the chicken wing tackle was different to the pressure point.
In his defence, he just watched Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi.
That's right.
So, he just... Juddy... It wasn't that bad, was it, Juddy's?
Wasn't great, though.
I'm talking about the pressure point one. Was that really bad?
It was a bit of a brain fart. That's what it was.
It was
a bit like Jack Viney's. It wasn't going to cause any serious damage.
Long
it was
ago,
just drooping.
Just a bad look.
Yeah. What about, just quickly, Carlton, latest situation there? Anything with the coaching situation or even this potential EGM, despite them being so close to playing finals?
Yeah, not sure how and when that's going to play out, but there's another potential movement in that space and clubs loathe one thing in footy, and that is an EGM being called because they lose complete control over what happens. Look, just with the Teague situation, he's now won 4 of 6 since the review was called, and okay, the 4 they've won on paper, they're not that impressive. But to win that amount of games under that pressure, and obviously now he's got a forward line with both Mackay, who returned last week, and Curnow had played his first game in two years in 4 rounds, you can see something there, can't you? And you've been talking about the spine they've got and the good players. He's not beyond the realms of somehow fighting through this at this late stage.
So they've won 4 of their last 6. They've got 3 pretty winnable games. Yep. They might win 2 of the 3. So you could finish the season, Duck, winning, 6 of 9, 5 of 8.
And they could finish the season in the 8 still, believe it or not.
Yeah, what we forget about Teague is he's only been in the job for a very short amount of time. He almost deserves another year. Now, would he accept, I guess this is the big question, would he accept if it came back as, okay, we'll extend you for another year, but that's it. So no 3-year deals, no 4-year deals or 2, but 1 more year and let's reassess it at the end of that year. Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility, but it creates the panic, doesn't it? We saw it happen with Nathan Buckley.
Does it just create some urgency? How many times do we see players in their final year of a contract, get the best out of themselves because it's not panic. There's actually that level of,
panic.
And you start zipping 3 and Damo's got the bus down there for the entire season.
You're right. But clubs react before the media.
Sorry, I was thinking about the coach. You mean the clubs panic.
The clubs panic before the media panic.
So on the flip side, with that, Joey, how often have we seen in the last 10 years where they get re-signed and then they're gone but before the end of the contract? Yep. It's just happened time and time again.
It does.
Hey, after this, we'll take a look at a bit of a duck dive quick five and we'll preview the games coming up for round 21.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Don't worry about me running out of material either.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive to the Listener app, and it's now time for this.
On the Midweek Rub, it's time for Duck Dive.
I'm good from the waist down.
Quick Five.
Daisy does that little thing everywhere.
He loves it, Daisy. Hey, we're going to start with the West Coast Eagles, Duck. Your team, you've been on them. Well, you've been on them for a long time.
And they'll get the home grand final.
I want to ask you. What do you think, from what you've seen from the outside, is wrong with the West Coast Eagles?
You know what? I'm prepared to say this. I wrote an article last week. I said Carlton and St Kilda were arguably, well, not arguably, I think the two big disappointments. And these two sides, let's not forget, sit just outside the 8. Well, I'm prepared to say, given the list that West Coast have got, they might have taken over as the most disappointing team of the year for me. I had them as my favourites for the flag. I honestly thought that with that list, things all back to normal, home games, everything else. I thought this is going to be a team, Damo, that can 100% go all the way, and they have been unbelievably disappointing for me.
Yeah. Hey, Daisy,
they'll still play finals footy.
Well, they will, because that's a bit of a farce in itself, is it? The last two spots.
Still going to win one game of their last three, though.
It's not certainty, is it, Damo? No. Daisy, just to follow on from that, Dom Sheed yesterday in the press conference, he was asked about the effort, and he said, "I don't think it's a lack of effort. Everybody goes out there and tries their very best." Do you agree with that comment, or do you think there are degrees of trying and that it shouldn't just be a given that everyone tries as hard as they can every single week? Because we know there's difference between grand final effort, finals effort, and home and away effort.
There's no doubt there's different shades of effort and different realms of effort and what you can bring. You can try your best, but sometimes your best just simply isn't good enough, and that's what they're dishing up at the minute. And to your point, you look at Darling, Kennedy, then go to the midfield. Knick-knack, Sheed, Shuey, Kelly, Gaff, Hearn, McGovern. There's too much talent on that list. Yep. Those players alone to be serving up what they did on the weekend. 45-point loss to the Pies, who were just ticking along at the time. It's not good enough. So to the point of they're trying their best, well, they need to find a way to try better and be better because it's not good enough.
We've all sat in meetings. We've all been in good teams, and we've been at times in teams that aren't going so well. And I reckon sometimes when you're in this sort of form that they're in, the harder you try, it just looks like you're not, you know, it's you're like bees to a honeypot. No one's out and you're just all over the shop. And that's, to me, that's where they seem to be. When I agree when it comes to effort, there's no player. And there's you have self-pride. There's no player that goes out there and doesn't try.
But do you agree there's different levels of effort?
Well, I think it can come across certainly that like that you're not, especially if you're low in confidence. And I reckon this group who has, as we said, an abundance of talent, I reckon they're really, really low on confidence and something's terribly wrong there.
For so you asking that question, sorry, Dave, because you feel there is
I think you have a right during a season to question a group or individual's effort at times to being to their benchmark effort. I think that we've seen there's a reason why finals are played at a different intensity. It's because there's a different level of effort because there's more on the line. That's the same
it's
as
human
a grand
nature
final.
To not give it everything every single time.
It's impossible to give it every single, you know, give your greatest effort every single week. But the challenge with the best players and the best teams is they get close to that as often as possible. And I think it's fair occasionally to question players' motivation and effort and desire compared to what their best is. And we've seen West Coast at their best.
Were there times when you didn't?
Absolutely. I think there's times.
Did you know it at the time? Or did you convince yourself you were at the time?
We'd always know. You're always looking. It was always we call it the mirror test. You'd look in the mirror after a game and you know whether you gave it your absolute greatest effort or whether there were chases you could have done a little bit harder and those sorts
and
of
it's,
things.
And it's mental preparation as well. That's right. Going into a game that you think that you should win, so you go in and just not mentally, you're not mentally as sharp as what you normally would be.
A little bit like the Tigers though, and I think West Coast have got away with this for so long because they have had so much talent, they almost haven't had to go that extra bit, look a little bit deeper. So for so long, it's just been, Kennedy will bob up and kick five, Darling will kick four,
McGovern will
light it up, and same with the Tiggs, Dusty will bob up, you know, this, that, and the other. That hasn't happened at the minute, and then you sort of almost are all out on the ground going,
who's going to do it? Waiting for someone else to do
it. Or either waiting for someone else, or then they go the other way and go, well, geez, now it has to be all of me, and then it almost looks more selfish because they're all trying to be the match winner rather than sticking to the process.
And Joey Duck had the mirror test going into a game of footy, but he also had the one after the shower, after a game of footy, before
when the cologne was on the neck underneath the other one.
By the way, while we're in news, are we going to talk about where the granny's going to be played?
we'll leave that for next week. Hey, Duck, next question. Melbourne have had 12 players play every game this year and another five that have played all bar one. Do you think Melbourne should now just look at resting some players to prepare them for finals and not risk injury? Or do you think you just keep going with the same players that have played so well for them all year?
It's all got to be off form, but you don't flirt or you don't tinker with what, and they're not in good enough form, I don't think, to do that. Now, let's hope this builds from here on in and they can build a really good few weeks, and then go into their finals feeling really good about themselves. But I wouldn't be tinkering too much, no. And only, Joey, only if a player, and you know, and through medical advice, if you think a player's really pushing through, you know, pain barriers, and there's certain players that'll do that week in, week out, and you know what? You don't stop them either, because that sometimes they need to be on that knife's edge. But there are some players that may need it, and you've got to take then the decision out of their hands. But I wouldn't be flirting with form, no.
Geelong. We know they've topped up and they're trying to win a flag this year and they are in it right up to their eyeballs. But is there a downside with continually topping up with these older players? So they brought in Jack Stephen a couple of years ago. They've brought in, we know, Isaac Smith, Higgins. They've got Josh Jenkins that's not playing, but Jeremy Cameron as well. Do you think there's a cost potentially with trying to go for this flag with the depth of the talent they have underneath?
Well, what they've been able to do over the years, which is quite unbelievable, even though they've topped up and they've never really bottomed out, as we know, and they're premiership favourites again this year. But, the Clarks and the Narkles and these guys, and even the Constable, who's been in great form, but clearly being in that form and not being given a go, they've said, your paper's a stamp, basically. So they've got a number. Even Radicalia, I think, falls into that category. Like, for instance, do they stick with both Stanley and Radicalia all the way through the finals? I mean, that once Cameron comes back into that team. I reckon they do, but
there's a decision to be made, isn't
there? If they drop Radicalia, then all of a sudden, if I'm Radicalia, I'm saying, well, hang on, they're playing these blokes in front of me. Should I look elsewhere?
We saw Zach Guthrie play his best game. They've got Henderson still playing.
So they've got a number, and this great club and this proud club and very well-run club and great leadership have this great ability to convince all of those players to stay. It's whether they're able to do that again this next time around, because that promise of, hey, by the way, he's going to retire, and then it's your turn, and they go and recruit three blokes, Smith, Higgins and Cameron.
Very good. Last one. Do you think it is time for a new coach at the Gold Coast Suns?
I don't like to talk about or get any coach or have a really strong opinion about this. Some people have a go at me about that, but I don't. I will say this, if obviously Clarkson was available, like I've said about all the other coaching positions, if they were available, then you would take Clarkson to the Gold Coast. But I'm not sure there's anyone else in the waiting that would want to go there or could go there and necessarily do any better. It is the quicksand of sport. The Gold Coast as a whole.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you're living up there, you're on the run. Sorry to all the guys. No, but it really is, for whatever reason, Joey. Why is it? Well, Damo, why don't you do a duck deep dive into why sporting organisations don't work on the Gold Coast? I mean, I think it's fascinating to find out why.
I've spent a lot of time there. Haven't lived there like you, Duck, but having spent last year there with the bubble that was up there, sport is the last thing on a local's mind when it comes to what's on offer up there.
No, but it's about – so, okay, but that –
That's the locals. That's the support. What about in the organisation?
I'm talking about in the organisation, exactly.
I think there's a filtering down effect to the organisation itself, that there's not this hardcore of support either way. I mean, the Titans were once very successful in that startup way. Yep. But they've already, before the Titans started, there were two rugby league teams there based there in the NRL, which just didn't last a blink. Football didn't work when they first went there in the late 80s, early 90s. They had to go to Brisbane, a proper city itself. So, yeah, you're right, Duck. The basketball, it's got an awareness there. It's got a presence there, but it's not going to take off there.
Is it because of the blowtorch on players? There's no real edge or pressure on you to actually perform. And you almost go, well, you know what? I'm getting my 700, 600, 700, 800 a year. No pressure, no limelight, no articles if I'm not playing well. I just can do that for the next 10 years.
Subconsciously creates a little complacency. Well,
they're all the questions that you want to. I know the sun comes up early and it gets to about 1 or 2 in the arvo, and the birds are chirping and people are out mowing their lawns off the clippings off the lawn, and you sort of go,
time for a beer.
I was with Jay-Z on Sunday, Damo. Is there a possibility the AFL could intervene and say, Clarko, we want you in that sort of fashion, or is that?
I'd be really uncomfortable with those days. Yeah, and look, I think it's a great question, and I'd be staggered if a commissioner, or at least a couple of commissioners, weren't thinking what you've just asked, but they effectively run the Gold Coast Suns. They've got a guy, to Duck's point, who's on contract, who they backed. And as such, it's industry money. It's not just club money. And they're also now on record strongly, sternly forcing the change in legislation about the payouts being given to coaches who are sacked and moved on. I just couldn't see them. I couldn't have them party to that being done right now at this stage.
I will make one comment now that, because that was a question without notice, because it's in the duck dive. But now, having thought about it, guys like Solomon, they've done certain things. Big Peter, 2 metre Peter at Essendon doing things. We know about the Brisbane move. We know. So there's been some unusual things that have gone on at that club, and they've let players go that have been in the gun. Also let assistant coaches go, because you hear of rifts and things like that. That's really concerning for them. That's what's got to be looked into deeply, because why are these players leaving this club that needs these players not to leave, and then they're going to the new club and playing really good footy?
Yeah, but Damo, you talk about the money situation, where they're paying out Stewie Jupe, but isn't that just, and even how much they'd have to pay Clarko, isn't that small fry compared to how much the AFL have spent?
Yeah.
They've probably spent $200 million trying to get this Gold Coast Suns franchise going. Wouldn't it be a couple of $2 million a year to give to Clarko to move him up? And there would be small fry to what they need to do to actually build a successful
club. Once again, it would be the AFL saying something and then doing something very different.
Yeah,
okay. And I think at some stage you've got to stand for what you actually do say. And I think there's a lot of that going on, not just with the AFL itself, but the industry.
And they'll be paying for the Gold Coast Suns for forever.
So anyway, something needs to change. I think we all agree on now. You know, hopefully Stewie Jew's the one that can get them out of it, but something has to change with that culture for them to succeed. And maybe it's not just the footy club, Duck. Maybe it's all the sporting organisations on the Gold Coast. Hey, after this, we're going to have a look at our certainties from last week, and we're going to take a look to the Round 21 games coming up right after this.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Most teams that I've been in have all been pretty good.
Triple M rocks footy.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive to the listener app. And we're going to take a look back at our certainties from last week. And, well, I went with the easy half volley. I needed to get some confidence. So I took Melbourne to beat the Gold Coast Suns. So I had that one in control pretty early. Duck, you took the Sydney Swans against Essendon.
Good game. Game of the round, by the way. Steve Bradbury, I was that day, because I wasn't meant to be at the footy because of all of the changes. I ended up being at that game at the G. It was a rip. I thought that was the game of the round.
Absolutely. And Daisy, you've always been slightly unconventional. You've been very, very good this year. Yeah. Let's just take a listen and remind us who you went with as your certainty last week.
I'm going to go with the Magpies, Joey. An upset at the G against the Eagles.
Did you Magpies Eagles? Is that who did you take?
Have a
Magpies.
Side bet, Duck.
You took the Magpies.
Have a side bet.
Oh, come on, Daisy. You fluke one for the year. Right? Now you're trying to fluke two.
Very good.
Side bet?
Right.
Side bet for Carton.
All right.
Yeah. Ooh, good, it's on. Hey, hello. I don't see a Carton in here,
though. Neither. I just thought he might have had a hidden under.
You know what? I forgot all about it. well done.
No, that was you've gone on out twice on a limb.
That was a good one.
You've gone out 22 times, but you've got two right.
45 points, the tune there. I saw that coming. I thought they'd get in front, then it would hose down rain. They'd just limp across the line.
Oh, Damo, you took a few half volleys in recent weeks to get your confidence back, and you thought you had another one last week.
Damo, you can go.
I'm going to jump onto the Tigers beating the Dockers in the last game of the round. Yeah, I'm convinced they're going to still win enough home and away matches to make that eighth spot that we just spoke about.
Now they've got to win their last three.
I think you've learned from this show this year, don't listen to me on footy tips.
It's going to be a big end of your party.
We're up to about 286 beers, I've counted, combined between all of us. So it's going to be a big session. Not even Duck will be able to get through all them.
You'll give it a crack.
Hey, let's take a look at this weekend's games, because there are some big games that are going to shape the top eight and the top four. Duck, you can have the new ball. Which game do you like this weekend?
Yeah, so I might, you know what, Bulldogs over the Bombers for me. That's my certainty.
Really?
Yeah.
So, you're going against Essendon.
Yep.
Were you impressed, though, with how the Bombers played?
Yeah, I was. Yep. I was. Like I said, that was just a great game of footy. What was it, 17 or 18 goals? It was just superb. Love the way they go about it, but just they're not quite ready. And I think the Bulldogs are just, I reckon they're just getting themselves ready to go. Mm.
I want to take the Swans over the Saints. I feel the Swans play in an unconditional manner, Joey, and the Saints play in a very conditional manner. And as such, when those two teams match up, the one that does the right thing all the time, or at least attempts to, will be the one that prevails.
Daisy, Swans are a big chance to make the top four. They've got three winnable games. If they win all three, they might actually end up finishing fourth.
Which would be very, very exciting. And I know you'd be jumping up and down and having parties everywhere because you declared them
Biggest call of the year,
been fantastic, and they've just been getting better and better. We've sat here most weeks going, are they starting to fluctuate? They've proven a lot of us wrong, and I think last month they've averaged about 98.4, which so is almost Sydney-like. Their ability to score heavily and then restrict the opposition, it's good to watch.
They're the best offensive team in the competition, clearly, at the moment.
In the comp.
I'm number one by a fair way, too, at the moment.
They've just got
an offensive juggernaut.
Got all the elements, when you think about it. Rampy, Buddy, Kennedy, Parker as your sort of elder statesman. And then that middle rung, there's a big middle rung. I think Blakey going back to half back, and then and all their young guys are performing.
And Hickey just being the recruit of the year.
Florent, Haywood. I mean,
Dawson,
and then your X Factor players. They've got those as well.
Papley and Errol Gordon and Papley.
You know,
Mills has had his career breakout. It was coming for a long time, and probably took too long.
Just
got to
keep riding the wave as far as they can this year. A bit like the Bulldogs of 2016. Yeah. You just never know. Daisy, what do you like?
What do I like, Rabsy?
Daisy Thomas is the Oracle.
Very good, Daisy.
Easy kill this week. I'm taking the Cats to get a hold of the Giants down at GMHBA.
Jeez, coming off
very
the back
soft.
Why have you done that?
Just got to solidify it.
All right.
Don't want to go out and look like an idiot again. So.
Joey?
Richmond are morals to beat the Kangaroos. Richmond are absolute morals.
Okay.
I tried that
last week, Joe. It didn't work for me.
Yeah, no, put that down. They will beat the Kangaroos. I've just watched the Tigers closely this week, and I think they are very close, not to being the Richmond of old that can win the flag this year, but playing the Tiger way, they are very, very close.
They've lost six of the last seven.
Yeah, but that's super fit. That's fingernail deep, as my old coach would say, Damo. They've lost three of them by about a kick. They were in front in three of those in the last quarters.
Yeah.
They probably should have beaten Fremantle. I think they're very close.
Where's that being played?
That's being played at the MCG.
Triple MCG.
Oh, okay.
So Richmond will win, and they'll still push for the eight, Damo. So they'll get very close to
making. I was saying that until last week. So
I think I might
jump back on.
There'll still be a chance to make the top eight, Richmond. Quickly, anyone see the Eagles defeat Melbourne Monday night?
No.
All right.
No.
And can Fremantle beat the Brisbane Lions?
Yes.
And solidify a spot in the eight?
Yes, they can. It's amazing because when we all looked at Freo a couple of weeks ago, we looked at their draw coming home and we said, that's the reason why they can't make it. All of a sudden, they upset a couple of those. They're a legitimate chance now.
Yep.
Is it possible that they're going well without Fife having the reliance on him? Obviously didn't play last week at all, and prior to that had been banged up.
Well, what it does, I think they've got enough talent that it just gives other people an opportunity that they wouldn't normally get, and I reckon they're grabbing it by the scruff of the neck and saying this is fantastic because he's an unbelievable player. Clearly they're better with him in there, but
him carrying the shoulder that he was carrying.
But I think it says a lot about the group.
Yeah.
Yep, spot on. A bit like what Corey McKernan used to do when Duck was injured. It was his turn to step up and play well, and then Duck come back and everyone moved out of the way.
And we'll get rid of Corey, send the cup.
Let Duck do his thing. Hey, it's been another great show. We're getting towards the business end. And, of course, don't forget you can listen to every game across Round 21 on Triple M and the Listener app, starting with Friday night down at Geelong. Howie, Darce, Brownie, Jason Dunstall and Damian Barrett. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M! Triple M rocks footy.